What is courage? In the next dimension of this message, the Bible says, add to your faith virtue. We will talk about it. You see that virtue is courage. You say your faith needs courage to work. Peter wrote that by the Holy Ghost. That's the third part of this message. But I love this definition from Strong's Concordance. They had so many things to say, but I chose this line. I loved it. He said, courage is steadfastly minded. That you set your mind on something, come rain, come shine. Let the wind blow. Let people reject you. Let all kinds of things happen. You stay with it. So that's what courage is. If you think you're going to walk in the big leagues by your emotions, please check out. Go to the doctor. Get your medicines lined up. Then come back. Because if you don't toughen up and do what God is telling you and take the pain and the bumps, you're going to become bipolar. That's why I say go to the doctor, get your prescriptions, and then come back. Because that's what happens to people. They make noise and say they have faith, and then when life hits them, now they say they're bipolar. I was coming back from Kenya, and I'm in the line, and this white young lady standing to my right, and she said, I don't know who she was talking to, she said, you know, it's about time for me to take my medicine to manage my anxiety. I said, yeah, I've encountered those devils, and I ran them off. I have to tell these things because many of you, because I have breakthrough, treat me like I just came down from heaven. I don't have struggles. No, I'm walking by faith. Yeah. Did you hear? F-A-I-T-H. So, because I can wave at you and you fall off, that does not mean that there are no demons that the devil has at that level. They say every level has a devil. If you wave hands and people fall out, then they'll send you some big bad boys that can be hanging with you while you're waving hands. These ones are hand-waving insular. Like Shambach, when he was alive, said he found out A.A. Allen sent him to go deal with a woman, cast the devil out. So he was worried. He said, okay, come on. He gathered some of the sisters that can pray. He said, come on, just start praying. He said, okay, let's get a blood song. He said, they started saying, there is power, wonder working power in the blood. And they looked up. The demon joined in. There is power. He said, he almost peed his pants. Where do we go from? Where do we go from here when the devil is joining the blood song? He didn't know if you sing the blood song scared, Satan uses the fear to stay. You can't use what God has given to you as witchcraft or magic. You have to use them and deploy them by faith. Yeah. Then it will work. So when you said the blood of Jesus and with faith, then the devil will back up. But if he knows you're scared and you're just trying to sing the blood for make him run away, he said, man, no, I sing better than you. There is blood, power, wonder working. Haven't you seen people put the Bible under their pillows? And the devil carry them and the Bible and the pillow. It is not the book, it's what's written in it. Okay, now watch. He said, courage, steadfastly minded. Strong and stronger. Let me do a little thing with this text, but I want to bring it home to where you can relate. How many of you in this room would have loved to be chosen to follow Moses. Moses has died. And now you are it. Moses has seen the similitude of God. Moses upon the mountain and came down, his face was shining. And they had to put a cover over his face. But yet these people were rebelling against him. And it was their shenanigans that made Moses lose their destiny. That's what I keep telling you. When me relating to you will cause me to lose my destiny, I separate from you. Moses lost his destiny. With the people driving him. Watch. And all of a sudden they say, Moses has died. And you're going to step in his shoes. Which one of us will joyfully sign up? Follow Moses? I heard some Christian musicians talking. They were white boys. And they were saying, man, have you gone to some of these meetings where, you know, there are several singers? And the other one said, yeah, man. He said, man, what these black brothers do to us is something. He said, they will come and then just, they reach this range. And he said, when they finish, you look at the songs you have. You wonder, how am I going to? How am I going to follow that? That's what I'm trying to get you to see. How are you going to follow Moses? In Israel. So you can understand why God was telling him, be strong. It's not only that he was called to follow Moses, but he was with Moses and knew all the people's troubles. And saw how the people didn't even respect Moses. I'm talking about they need to choose another leader to go back. You prayed 400 years. And God finally answered you. And you couldn't handle the wilderness. And you want to go back to slavery. How do you follow Moses? Because if you are reading it, you don't put yourself in the story. Then it will not have power in your own circumstance. You will not answer the call of God to rise to higher ground. I was listening to Gloria Gaither. You know Bill and Gloria Gaither? That's a song. That song was written, don't know how many years ago, but the melody was written, and many people have put different words to it. That song was actually the Biafra National Anthem in Nigeria. And Gloria penned some powerful words to it. And she said something. She said, I hope the people know that I can live up to what I just wrote. Not yet. He said, I may never live up to it. He said, but people don't want to, that they should know that. But this is what she said that I latched onto. He said, people said to lower your expectations so you can be happy. But she said, I'm saying raise them so you can be great. He says, it's you raising the bar that brings out the greatness in you. Amen. Not lowering the bar. Amen. So you can be happy in mediocrity. Amen. Am I helping anyone? Amen. Yeah. He said, to be determined to make oneself alert. You wake yourself up. Slap yourself. God looked at Israel and said, you've been here long enough. He said, go north. Strengthen oneself. Confirm oneself. persisting, prove superior to exhibit strength, to be strong, to feel strong. The way God gave me this message is like I'm going to be asking and answering questions. What is the secret sauce that will make you step into such a magnanimous shoes that nobody naturally can feel? It is like, haven't you seen some of these people that claim that they were with Martin Luther King Jr. during the civil rights? But none of them are Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. Even none of his children caught his grace. In these modern times, it is like you coming after he was assassinated, and you are chosen to lead the movement. And this time, they said, okay, the first march was from Selma to Montgomery, isn't it? So now they said, okay, now it's from Montgomery to Atlanta. And the Ku Klux Klan starts demonstrating and start humping on horses and all of this stuff. And then you look at you and the stragglers with you. You said, let me go talk to my mama first. I can't handle this. That's that kind of a thing. To step into Moses' shoes. No, naturally, Joshua would have been saying, thanks a lot, Moses. Just before we enter into all the battle phase of conquest, that's when you leave me. At least you had me. But now God is sending me, and I don't have another me. Joshua didn't have an assistant. He was Moses' assistant, but God didn't give him one. Can you relate? Because I see what has gone wrong. Every time I say it, the elders and the leaders agree with me. I said, what would this new generation do when basic homes we paid 91 and 92,000 are now half a million? You better get faith working. Otherwise, your generation will be renters. And you will retire and still trying to find your rent. How will you buy a house? You need faith like you've never needed faith. There's no check that can help you. They give you 3 times your gross income. I saw a man in California in a tent in the public park. And the homeless people pointed him out, and the press went and knocked on his tent. I said, man, what are you doing here? You're an executive. He said, yeah, but I can't afford a house. How much do you make? He said, I make $250,000 a year. But all the houses are a million plus. They give you only 3 times, that's 750. So he has to save up the other money. So he needs another half a million to be able to get in a house. So he is making $250,000 a year, and he's in a tent in the park, homeless. That's the curse they have now brought to Georgia. Amen. When I tell you that these dames don't know what they're doing, you think I'm playing the Republican politics. I'm telling you for real. I don't know who bewitched you all. But let me stay with my message. So I don't get off on that kick, because it makes me mad. People are just acting like zombies. You don't think. You're paying $10 for a sandwich. Huh? McDonald's used to give you $1. Then Subway had their music, $5, $5 foot long. Now it's $15, $20. paying attention. It's just that I'm over here. One day, I will be on that national scene so they can start hearing true prophets. I'm prophesying, and it will be happening. I told you I paid $27 to hem these pants. I said, what in the world has happened? We used to pay $10. And if you want a cuff, then $2 extra. $27 at Men's Warehouse. They said, well, you didn't buy the suit here, so what's the price difference? $3. So, big deal. So if I bought the suit here, it's $24. I didn't buy the suit here, it's $27. What discount is that? All right. Now, I asked a question here in my notes. How does one step into the shoes of Moses? Moses was a larger-than-life figure. Moses has been seen the similitude of God. His face shined until the people asked that he cover his face so they could look at him. How do you come after such a man? I said, the answer is in verse 5. Come on. Let's look at verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee. So God was saying, I am sending you, but I know that there will be men that will rise up to oppose you. But I will stand against them for you. It is a disservice for the church not to train the people for spiritual warfare. You keep expecting that you're going to go from promise and bypass the wilderness and enter the promised land. No warfare. That's a lie. Amen. That's Satan. That's a lie. Amen. You have to fight to win. He said, no man will be able to stand before you. That means they will rise. Yeah. Amen. Okay. He said to make it all the way plain. There is nothing God has promised you. There is no destiny on this earth that you can ever enter into. It don't matter what other problems you go through. But this one is a compulsory must. You know this? Compulsory must. I created that. What is that compulsory must? You must contend with people.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
There's no breakthrough without the contentions of people. You're going to have a relationship fight. That's where all the destinies end up failing. You can conquer hell and high water, but when it comes to relationship, it's so painful that you collapse. That's why many ministries don't make it. Relationship. People. God said, no man will be able to stand before you. He didn't say they will not oppose you, but they will not be able. Amen. Watch. So you can see the whole picture. He says, all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. Hey, that's when the man got his mojo. He said, I have taken the grace I gave Moses, and I'm putting it on you. So the backup I gave Moses. Now, when our church went to Kenya, you remember that? I wasn't let to go. So I stayed home. And I called Elder Bobby. I stood him up here. And what did I say? I said, the grace God has given to me, I give it to you. I place it on you. Amen. Now go! I said, it will be like I was there. He's an elder.
Amen.
But in Kenya, even they were consulting him about demonic issues. He took care of business. He walked that property. He raised the altar. He made the decree. I told you that even the night watchman ran away and said that he will be seeing all these people walking on the roof of the church. And he did it. And the devils ran. I heard him preach that Sunday morning in Kenya. I said, who is that? I said, now he's taking my stuff and he's shining.
God be the glory.
Huh? God said, now the grace I put on Moses. Hallelujah. You see, you don't know some of you who think you're grown and God sent you to inspect me. You don't know what you're forfeiting. Amen. And when I give you some testimonies, you cringe. I told you that one young lady told me some years ago how she was at home fighting all day long. Satan was on her. She's praying and can't pray through. And all of a sudden, she rose up and said, wait a minute. In the name of the God of Apostle Chika, my spiritual father, I come against you, devil. He said, they all took flight. Pew. Well, some of you juggernauts, of course, we're equals. I have authority in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes, you do, if you have faith. But you're told to pattern after my faith.
Beloved, this message is so multifaceted, so loaded with insight and understanding and grace. Most importantly, the inevitable suffering that goes with any destiny. The pinnacle of all troubles is always in relationships. The fight in relationships, trying to bury destinies. Those of us called into the full-time ministry, problem marriages, challenges everywhere, things you can't handle. Satan finds something to really put in the dagger and twist it so that you can collapse. I keep reminding you, think about what Joseph went through. Wouldn't you need counseling, therapy, support group, medicine, everything else just to survive your siblings? Here comes the dreamer, they said. Come on, let's kill him. Let's see what will become of his dreams. They had no idea that their evil intended purpose was actually God's avenue of fulfilling the dream. That's what I keep telling you. You have to get the biblical perspective so you can survive mean-spirited people, people that hate your guts, people that are always plotting against you. They are non-issues. Celebrate them because God will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Are you going to be hurt? Yes. Are you going to feel rejected? Yes. Are you going to feel alone? Yes. Until, as the psalmist said in Psalm 73, you enter the house of God. Until you enter the presence of God and the glory will come on you and heal you and cover you and protect your heart from these venomous attacks. Otherwise, you're going to be bleeding, walking around. You're going to be hurting, oozing with blood from the pain of rejection and the actions and words of mean-spirited people. This is why so many destinies have failed. And then most importantly, if they don't get you, actually, it's not if they don't get you. Simultaneously, while they're working against you through the relationships, they will go and mess up your relationship or your connection with your spiritual authority. So grace doesn't transfer. These things, hey, Satan knows the playbook so well and they've been working it for generations. I give the testimony of my elder, how I transferred grace to him the way he preached that Sunday morning in Kenya, he hasn't preached that since. He raised altars and made decrees, and the demons flew away from the building in Kenya. That's the way this kingdom is run. You find you your spiritual father. Don't make noise about somebody being your spiritual father, and then tomorrow you ray up against him and start making noise, as people have done to me. And then don't know why calamity befalls them. And they start saying, I curse them. I haven't even thought about you. I was thanking God for relieving me of your burden. I call it the high cost of loving you. Rebellious people are so expensive to deal with, because Satan keeps trying to use them to cause you to miss your own destiny. Young lady, you just appeared to me because that's what's ailing you. God has a special grace on you. You have favor. Even the pastor is blessing you and helping you, but your relationships are messed up. People hating you and rejecting you because you are favored. Stop agitating over it. Start thanking God for it. The people, that's what happened to me years ago. And God said to me, all these people warring against you, they will be serving you. And I changed my attitude. And he said something that was amazing. He said, they will not remember what they said. And it came to pass exactly as God said. Are you going to believe the testimony and change your attitude and repent today? Or are you going to keep holding on to your stuff? And you miss the boat both ways. Call the number 770-994-3777. Reach out to Resurrection. You'll be transformed. I'm not the only one preaching the gospel, but the things I'm preaching are rare. They're rare. It's going into the demonic closet and yanking out the secret weapons of Satan and burning them with fire to nullify them. That's why I'm so excited for you. If you will connect with Resurrection, you will never be the same. Do it today. Do it today. We love you. God bless you. We'll conclude tomorrow. It's been a powerful week. Bye-bye.